Pastor had said a while back, he was talking about Wednesday night crowd versus a Sunday night crowd, and he was saying that he can usually preach, you know, pretty freely on Sunday night. He can pretty much dish out whatever, and that's the best time to do it because you're the most relaxed. You know, it's Sunday, you've had the whole day to relax, and Sunday night, you know, you're well tuned to it, whatever he has to give. But on Wednesday nights, he had mentioned that, you know, you've come in from the day working, whatever, and usually you're a lot more weary than you would be on a Sunday night. So what I want to bring tonight to you, who I assume you're kind of weary tonight, I assume everybody's kind of had a long day, so to you, the weary, I'd like to bring a weary message, if you please, so you feel right at home. The purpose, to turn with me, start off to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And this is the prophet talking about what God has done for him, how he's enabled him. And he says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." I think perhaps the main thing that this verse is telling us is it's a comforting thing if you're weary to hear the word of God, to hear it preached, to hear it taught in whatever capacity. And what you can get out of this verse is, even if you are weary, it's better that you come to church. It's better that you assemble with like-minded believers than to just stay home. It's better to make the effort to come than not to come, even if you are weary. And the word that God has given to a preacher or teacher is for the weary, which is what Isaiah is telling us here. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, God, for once again, privileged to be up here. Lord, I thank you for these people, and Lord, I'm sure at least a few, if not many, are weary here tonight, Lord. It's been a long day for them, probably a long week, and I just pray, God, that you would tune them, Lord, in to your word. God, I can't do anything, Lord, but you can do everything, and I pray, God, your power now upon this service, and I just pray, Lord, that work in the hearts and ears and minds of the people here tonight, God, and I pray that they would get a blessing from what is taught. In Jesus' name, amen. The weary. Basically, what I want to talk about tonight is just three areas. The causes of weariness, the consequences of weariness, and the cure for weariness. I was going to put the causes, the effects, and the cure, but I wanted to alliterate. I wanted the causes, consequences, and cure, you know, have my C's all lined up, you know, be big and fancy so that you get your money's worth, you know, so to speak. So, the causes of weariness, the consequences of weariness, and the cure for weariness. I want to start off with the causes. You know, in this day and age, in Daniel chapter 12, you don't have to turn to it, but it talks about, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, how knowledge shall be increased. We're talking about the time of the end, the end times, and we're close to those times. We live certainly in the last days of the church. We know we're in the Laodicean age, and we know that knowledge has been increased. We see high technology around us everywhere. There's a lot of people in this church. That's your occupation, involves something to do with computers or something high tech. The Bible talks about many people running to and fro, and knowledge being increased. And I believe that that has made us more weary than it's helped us. We've experienced some convenience from that, but I don't believe we've experienced nearly as much as what it has been advertised to be. You know, I mean, it used to be you send a business letter to someone, the person you're sending it to, they wouldn't expect it to get there for like, you know, 2-3 days or a week. Nowadays, they expect it instantaneously, you know, through email. When it comes to, you're doing a project or whatever. Computers have made it easier to do and quicker to do, but what it boils down to is your employer expects more out of you because of that technology. It's not that it's helped you any, it's just that it helps you to do more, so you're expected to do more. And we expect more because of technology, and more is expected out of us because of it. And we're running to and fro and wearying ourselves because of that. So our lives really haven't been enriched or been made better by something as shallow as technology. If anything, many times it's become more of a burden to us than not. So that's one of the causes of weariness. Of course, the devil works constantly on the church. The church is God's main agency in this age. And, you know, staying in Daniel, if you read Daniel chapter 7, it talks about the Antichrist wearing out the saints of the Most High. Of course, that's in the tribulation period, but he certainly won't pass up any opportunity to wear out the saints these days as much as he can. And when you read the first couple chapters of Job, you see that the devil will use any opportunity God gives him to weary or to wear out the saints. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them, and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12, and said unto him, Send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge, and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. You notice the first part of verse 12, when the day began to wear away. And that's how it was even for our Lord. He spent many days on this earth in the 33 and a half years that he was here. He spent many weary days as well. You know, we sing that gospel hymn, Jesus knows all about our sorrows. He will guide when the day is done. Everyone in here tonight who's weary over something, whether it's the physical weariness or emotional, Jesus knows about that. And he spent many days in this world, days that didn't fade away, they wore away. And we even read in Mark chapter 3, verse 21, where it talks about the people who were his friends, they said that he was beside himself, trying to escape the multitudes, just trying to get away for a little while and sup with his disciples. And the multitudes followed him wherever he went, and they thronged, basically tried to throng him, and everybody was just scrambling to try to get some attention from him. And he was beside himself at one point, we're told. In John 4:6, when he meets the woman at the well, he's weary. And that was we're told that's at the sixth hour of the day. It was noon, and he was already weary, going up to the well and looking for a drink. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, why don't we turn there for a moment. His days were weary, and the nights of our Savior were weary as well. This is kind of a sad passage. Jesus isn't complaining. He wasn't a complainer. He wasn't a whiner. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He knew what he had to go through, but he was willing to face it. And he was willing to face any hardships or any weariness that he had to go through. In Matthew 8:20, Jesus is saying, it says, And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He had weary days, he had weary nights as well. Sometimes he didn't even have a place to sleep. And it was like that from the very beginning. I mean, he was born in a manger. So his nights, his sleeping accommodations were pretty rough from the very beginning. So you might say he was acquainted with weariness and hardship from the very start, from his birth. So we see some of the causes of weariness, you know, that we deal with, just life in general, the hardships, things like technology, which really work as much against us as they do for us. Now, the consequences of weariness. Turn with me to Job chapter 7. We'll look at the first four verses. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Job's always a good book to go to for things like this. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of an hireling? I suppose your days are like a hireling unless, you know, you run your own business or whatever, unless you're a big entrepreneur like Brother Payne, you know, then you know, you don't have to fool with that. You don't have to fool with that. Bugs tremble at the mention of his name. And their prediction is pain. Verse 2, as a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as an hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed unto me. Anyone had any wearisome nights appointed unto them recently? Probably got more in store before Jesus comes. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. You know, Job said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. What Job is describing here is really what the typical 21st century American goes through, whether you're saved or lost. I mean, talks about wearisome nights, working, slaving as a hireling, and then you go to bed thinking you're going to find rest, thinking you're going to finally you're going to get some sleep, you're going to get some relief from your weariness, and sleep affords you no rest. Tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. So really, there's no rest day or night in this chapter. That's the description that Job is laying out. He is experiencing no rest at all. Turn with me to Psalm 6. Psalm 6, verses 6 and 7. Consequences of weariness, sleepless nights. Psalm 6, verses 6 and 7. I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. It's not just physical weariness that causes a person to have a sleepless night. Of course, it's also emotional weariness as well. Sadness, sorrow. There's dozens of things that could preoccupy a person's mind. Says, I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. So what we see here is it's almost as if the psalmist, which in this case is David, is saying, you know, I go back and forth between the couch and the bed. Has anybody ever done that? You just can't sleep on the bed. You toss and turn, so you go out to the couch. And the couch doesn't afford you much more comfort than the bed, so you go back to the bed. So you're just going back and forth and back and forth. You know, you can't get any peace wherever you go, tossing and turning. You know, from bed, couch, couch, bed, couch. You know, it's the same for some of us these days. David here is identifying with what the 21st century American Christian sitting in this room might be going through. He says, mine eye is consumed because of grief. Let's hold that thought and continue on with that thought in Psalm 69, verse 3. Go down with me a little ways in Psalms to Psalm 69, verse 3. Psalm 69, verse 3. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. weary of my crying. Basically, you know, a person, you know, I've heard sad songs, I've heard people, you know, use the expression, I'm all cried out. You know, there's only so much crying you can do until you're just cried out. I mean, you can't cry over a matter anymore. And the psalmist in this case, which is once again David, he's saying, I'm weary of my crying. I've cried so much over this matter or that matter that I'm weary of even that. You know, I'm weary of my weariness, is almost what he's saying. You know, I mean, conceptualize that. Turn with me, we'll go to another consequence of weariness. Go with me to 2 Samuel 23. Just got two or three more passages. 2 Samuel 23. Verses 8 through 10. 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 10. This is a story, or basically this is just a short account of David and three men, three very brave, valiant men that he had under his command. And I want to focus on one of them, and the key statement made about one of them. Verse 8, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar. That's who we want to focus on. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. I think you can appreciate that literally and you can appreciate that figuratively, what is being taught in verse 10. He smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. In other words, he had been in battle for so long and he had smote so many Philistines that he could not pry his hand away from the sword. His hand clave to the sword. I mean, it's almost like it was attached to him, like it was part of his anatomy. And that's typical of what a lot of Christians face when they come to church. There may be people here right now, you fought a lot of battles in your life, you're still fighting battles right now, and it's hard to focus on the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Your hand is still cleaving to the sword that's been in your hand all day. Your mind is still preoccupied with problems and what do I have to face at work tomorrow, or how am I going to handle this situation, or my children need this or my spouse needs that, and how am I going to deal with this problem and deal with that problem, and it's hard to focus on anything. Your hand is still wrapped around that sword from being in battle all day. It's cleaving. It's hard for you to let go and concentrate on anything else because of what you've been through all day. There is a real figurative message in this as well as literal. And Eleazar was in battle so long that it's almost like his sword was just an extension of his hand. That's one of the consequences of weariness. You can't let go, your mind can't let go of the problems that you face. You can't put them aside for a while. It's almost like they're there. You can't pry yourself away from them. Turn with me to Job chapter 16. Job chapter 16, verse 8. Yet another consequence of weariness, Job 16, verse 8, and thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me. And my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. Now the wrinkles, it's self-explanatory. You know, older a person gets, or sometimes you don't have to be that old. If you know, if a person is fairly young, but they've lived a life of, and that they've experienced sorrow and anguish. You know, some young people have to grow up pretty fast because of what they've been through, and you know, some people in their 20s can develop wrinkles. you know, just by the trauma that they've had to face in their lives. You know, children who've been abused or maybe been through a war or been through some extraordinarily unusual situation, they could develop premature aging, you know, or wrinkles. And Job is talking here about being filled with wrinkles after what he's been through, and it's a witness against him. I mean, his grieving is all over his face. He can't hide it. It's a witness against him. And we look, latter part of the verse, my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face. So the wrinkles in combination with the leanness. You know, if you read through the Bible and you see that the word fat is really synonymous with blessing. You know, when the Bible uses the word fat, it's always in conjunction with blessing, you know. A person, the liberal soul, shall be made fat, you know. And leanness is a picture of suffering, being destitute, so to speak. So the Bible kind of contrasts fatness with blessing, and obviously the opposite being leanness would be lack of blessing or cursing or some sort of grievous burden that a person has to bear. Of course, Job's talking about leanness here. And one of the consequences of weariness is affects you physically, affects you in the face. Physiologically, leanness. On a lighter note, I mean, you know, when a person is running to and fro and, you know, has a lot on their mind and they become weary from just the hectic schedule that they have to face, I mean, you can forget a lot of the basic things in life. I mean, you can forget, you know, you can forget to pray. You can forget to read your Bible. You can forget to eat breakfast. You know, you can forget to brush your teeth even. You know, I mean, there's so many things you could forget. In fact, on that note, why don't we go to Job chapter 17, verse 1. Job says, my breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. I mean, even his breath, you know, all the way down to even that. Everything's messed up with him as far as the consequences of weariness go. And he even, I mean, he's ready, he's basically ready to die. My days are extinct, the graves are ready for me. One of the consequences of weariness is hopelessness in the mind. A person begins to think in sort of a hopeless, resigned kind of way. I guess the best word I could use is resigned. They're just resigned. After weariness hangs over them long enough, a person can just be resigned to everything in this life and just actually look forward to dying, actually look forward to the grave. This is coming from a man who was very close to God. I mean, the Lord said, you know, to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody else like him. And of course, Satan did consider him, but God had a hedge about him. So Job wasn't somebody who had no relationship with God or wasn't spiritual in any way. He was a very spiritual man in the eyes of God. And he suffered enough and encountered enough weariness to where he was completely resigned to life altogether. Finally, I want to close this with the cure for weariness. And I want to go to really the best place you can go. And that is Isaiah chapter 40, familiar passage. But it's always worth reminding yourself, it's always best not to let a passage get too familiar, so familiar that we ignore it and write it off and lose the significance that it contains. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. We've seen the causes of weariness. We've seen the consequences of weariness. And now lastly, we see one cure for weariness. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. It's almost poetic. You know, they made a song about this passage. poetry there, power to the faint and increaseth strength. Verse 30, even the youths shall faint and be weary. I look forward to, every night I look forward to two particular youths fainting and being weary. One at about 8:30 and the other at about 9:30. So, verse 30 is a blessing to you if you're a parent. If you're an aspiring parent, it will become a great blessing someday. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And the ultimate, I think one, maybe the ultimate verse in the Bible to end this message is right here. You've seen it on bumper stickers. You see it on Bible covers. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You ever see the wingspan of an eagle? Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be, talk to me, weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Thank God for this verse. There's 31,173 verses in the Bible, but you'd be hard-pressed to find one more encouraging than this one. And that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. All we need to do to find that cure for weariness is claim that promise. It's hard to wait on the Lord when you're running to and fro. Sometimes we just need to, as the psalmist said, Psalm 46, I believe, be still and know that I am God. Be still. It's hard to sit still. It's hard to be still when you're running to and fro, when you have busy, hectic schedules. But sometimes we just need to park it and be still and know that He is God and wait on the Lord. And we'll be renewed. We'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for these people here tonight. God, I just pray that they've been helped, Lord. I know they've been helped through Your Word, God. Anyone who will listen will be. And Lord, we, all of us as Bible believers, Lord, we thank You for Your precious preserved Word. And God, I just pray for these people here tonight, Lord. I don't know all the situations, Lord. Only You know every individual life. And only You know, God, what everyone is facing and what special situations and problems and turmoils they may have. And God, I just pray Your healing hand upon every one of them. I pray, God, that You strengthen us all as Your people in these last days, Lord. And pray You give us all a safe trip back to our homes and a safe trip back here, Lord, at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.